person's parent dies, so there's a minhag to commemorate the yahrzeit. And the question is, what's the point? What's the significance of that minhag?
Is it limited to parents or shiva?
So that's an excellent question. It seems like there is certainly significance to commemorate the death of a spouse, a sibling, a child, a son. But the real or the there's extra significance to a parent. And I want to analyze the status of your type of parent. That's what I'm trying to analyze. And really the question I want to pose is, what is the significance of commemorating your site? Is it a din in kibud av'eim? Just like there's a concept of kibud av'eim when a person's parent is alive. So the Gemara says in Kiddushin, there's also kibud av'eim when a parent is no longer here. So, for example, you can't call your parents by their name even after they pass on, because it's not kibud av'eim. It could be likewise, commemorating your site is a kiyum of kibud av'eim. Alternatively, it could be that the din of a yahrzeit is really more a din in the child. A terrible thing happened to that child on that day. The parent died. So it's possible that we have a concept, you know, that if something happens on one day, there's a concern that something else might happen again. For example, we commemorate Tisha B'Av because of the korban of the first space of Mikdash. And the Gemara says in Masechta Tanis, if you look here in source number 5, how do you know that the Korban Bais and the second Beis HaMikdash happened on Tisha B'Av? The Tanya Megalgin Tzchus V'Yom Zakai V'Chova L'Yom Chayav. So the Gemara says that it's a day that's Mi'u'ad L'Paranut. It's a day that is chosen for Anut. And therefore, the concern is if a person's parent died on that day, they have to do tshuva, because maybe something else is going to happen. Maybe they'll get into a car accident. Maybe somebody else is going to die. You know, it's more of a din in the child rather than a din in the parent. That's the chakir I want to analyze. I want to get a little ahead of myself, so I just want to go back to the first source. The Gemara in Nedarim speaks about the concept of isar. Isar is a type of neder. And the Gemara says, "Ezeu isar." What is isar? Amar hareini shelo ochal basar shelo ashtei yain ki yom shemeis ba'aviv ki yom shemeis ba'rabim. So there was a custom that people wouldn't eat meat and wine on the day that their parent died. So this idea of yortzeit is already mentioned in the Gemara, that on the day a parent died, so you don't eat meat, you're not involved in tanugim. And the Rosh there, the second source on the page, says ki yom shemeis ba'aviv. It's normal, it's the derech, to be mitzta'er on a day that a parent dies. Now, the truth is, the Gra, in source number 3, points out that it's not clear that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara says, a person says, I'm not going to eat meat or wine like a day my father died. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the yahrzeit. It might be like the day the father died. When a person dies, you have a din of aninus, and you're not supposed to, you know, be involved in eating meat or drinking wine. So it could be that really the Gemara is not a reference to yahrzeit. It might be referring to the actual day the parent died. But the simple understanding of the Gemara, and the way the Rosh understands it, is that we already have a concept precedent for idea of yahrzeit, the day a parent dies, so you're not involved in eating meat, drinking wine. And like I said, the question I really want to analyze is, what is the significance of the yahrzeit? The word yahrzeit, of course, it's a Yiddish word, yahrzeit, the time of the year. So the Yom HaZikaron. So what is the nature of yahrzeit? Is it a din in kibud av'eim, the way of commemorating the fact that the parent passed on? It's really a mitzvah of kibud av'eim lachar mita. Or it's din in the ben, din in the child, hurrah mazalot, the day where something bad happened, and therefore a person is supposed to do tshuva on the anniversary of a time something very bad happened. So the if you look at source number 4, the Mari Mint, who was one of the early achronim, his tshuvas are found in the end of the Marami Panam. Marami Panam was one of the Italian early achronim, Rav Menachem Azaria. And he married the granddaughter of the Mari Mintz, and he published his wife's grandfather's tshuvas in the back of his work. So if you look at source number 4 in the Ma'ariv Mintz, L'chein istaver li tama l'didi, d'svar lomar, d'zeh haminhag ba, o mishum d'viyom shemeit abba or rabo, itra mazle, his mazal was ra, he had bad luck on that day, so every day, every anniversary of the day of parent eyes, you fast or you commemorate, you know, you do it the yortzeit, whatever is included in that, because something bad happened to you. It's not a din on the father. Oh, says the Ma'ariv Mintz, mishum kaparel aviv or rabo, we want to somehow provide atonement for the parent, digam al rabo omer hareni kaparat mishkavo, Uvram is like Abba, a child does a good thing, it's a schus for the neshama of the parent. So essentially, he's really presenting this chakira. Is it a din in kibbutz? Hey, the way he presents it, it's not in kibbutz, it's more than a kapara. There is a kabbalistic idea that on the yortzeit, the neshama is re-judged. Every year on the yortzeit, there's a, so that we speak about an aliyah for the neshama. What does that mean? Again, I'm not really so familiar with the Kabbalistic ideas, but apparently there's a re-judgment every year. So it's a kapara for the nifter, or it's just a straight-up din of kibud av aim. Either way, that's one understanding. Alternatively, it's huram hazalot, din of the child, a bad thing happened. Bad thing happened, you have to do tshuva, because you don't want a bad thing to happen again, just like the first base of Mikdash was destroyed in Tisha B'Av, so the next time it was also in Tisha B'Av, so we want to set out to tshuva to avoid bad things from happening. Yeah.
How can Ruvain
do tshuva for Shiva? Oh, so that's an excellent question. That's the next source, Ruchas Chaim. It's really a side point. We usually assume that if I get stuck on Ili Nishmas, the Nifter, it somehow helps them. There are many Gaonim who are very uncomfortable with this. You know, the father was a Rasha Marusha, and this child, you know, gave staka. It's not fair. The fact that the father was a Rasha, he should not. So the next source, in the Ruchas Chaim, he quotes a Haigon, who says that it won't help. There's no such thing as helping somebody else. Whatever you do, that's what you deserve. You do mitzvahs, you get the Elamah. The fact that somebody else gets stuck on your behalf is very nice, but it's not going to help you. But that's not the common assumption. There's a debate about this issue. It seems like if a person was fundamentally a good person, so if he was alive, he would give tzedakah. So you're giving on his behalf. So then, you know, it would work. If the person really was an evil individual, and then you, his son, happens to be righteous, so does it really help? So this is an idea that the Gemara speaks about, bra mezaka abba, that a child gives a schus for the parent. Like I said, the Haigon was very uncomfortable with this idea. It's the line of the Gemara. He thought that it's not fair. How can it be? The father lives immoral life, and the son is a tzaddik. It's very nice the son is a tzaddik, but how's it going to help the parent? So this is a big debate, but we usually assume that there's significance to giving tzedakah, to doing masim tovim, ilin neshama. That's usually what we do. How that works, and if it always works, is a question that is dealt with here in Orkos Chaim. He quotes from Haigon, like I said, who was very against this idea, but I think generally we do assume that there is a significance here. Okay, so I want to just explore briefly a couple of nachminas of this question. The first question is the question of Mechila. We know, if you look at the source number 7, the Gemara discusses the question of a hesped. Can a person say on their deathbed, I don't want a hesped. I'm molcha. I don't want a hesped. Yibayeluhu. Hespeda yikra dechaye have or yikra deshchivi have. Is a hesped a kavod for the live relatives, or is it a kavod for the mace? If it's a kavod for the mace, he can say, listen, I don't want a hesped. Leave me alone. If it's a kavod for the family, so it's not going to help. If Nifter says he doesn't want a hesped, it's very nice, but it's a kavod for the family, and therefore he can't be molcha. That's the Gemara's question. And the Gemara says, the conclusion is that it's kavod hamace, and you're allowed to be molcha on a hesped. There are actually people who have done this, and many gedolim have asked not to have a hesped, and the whole discussion should listen, not listen. In any case, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, the source number 8, Mishat Tzifa Shalol Yaspidenu, a person commands or asks, they don't eulogize. Shomino, you listen. You listen to the nifter, and you don't eulogize. And then there's an add on, Avalim Tzifa Shalol In Hogalav Shiva, Ushloshim Ain't Shomino. A person says, don't sit Shiva. Don't sit Shiva. I know you're very busy. You have to go to work. If you sit Shiva, you won't be able to go to work. Don't sit Shiva. You don't listen. You sit shiva anyway. That's what the Gemara. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens.
Is that because it's doraita?
So shiva, the first thing might be doraita, but even if it's doraita, it could be that it's his schus and he can be mochel. That's the question.
What's the difference between husband and?
Oh, so it could be it's a function of if it's a kavod hames, he can be mochel. Kavod achai, maybe, meaning it could be it's therapeutic for the avelim. So the fact that he doesn't want you to sit shiva is very nice, but it's not his right to be mochel. It's good for the avelim to sit shiva.
What about like your base kodesh or something?
Oh, so that's an important question. What about, you know, saying not saying kaddish? I know you're very busy. Don't say kaddish. Does that work? So some poskim assume that certainly for the yud-beis chod, for the parent, it's in kibbutz aim, we say kaddish for a regular relative for 30 days, for a parent for 11 months. So that's in kibbutz aim. Kibbutz aim is mechila works. A parent can say, don't stand up. Most of us don't stand up for our parents because the parents are mocha. So if you say, don't say kaddish for the, you know, after the 30 days, for the remaining, you know, year, the rest of the year, that would work. You're allowed to be mochel on such a thing. So the question is, can a person say to his children, don't commemorate my yard site? So it's hollow in this takir. If the concept of yard site is a dinner kibbutz aim, so just like a parent can say, don't say kaddish for the 11 months on mochel, so too, if they don't commemorate the yard site, that would work. Child wouldn't be obligated to commemorate the yahrzeit. Whereas if it's a din in the child, that something bad happens to the child, his parent dies, so he has to do tshuva on that day, so it's very nice that the parent was mochel, but the child should want to commemorate the yahrzeit because if something bad happened, they have to do tshuva on that day. So again, if it's din kibbutz aim, mechila mo'ila, mechila works, but if it's a din in the child, ein Mo'il Michiel, it doesn't work. Okay, that's the first nafkamina. The second nafkamina that I want to explore is the question of when you commemorate the yahrzeit. This is a question that was posed to the Chelkas Yaakov, or Yaakov Breisch, who was a rav in Germany in the 30s, and he ran away, I think in 34, to Switzerland, and he lived in Switzerland. And he was one of the important poskim, not so famous, but he was one of the important poskim of the last century. And like I said, he lived in Switzerland, and somebody asked him the following question. Source number 10. The Devar HaSheila Bechar Hadar B'Tzurich, somebody lives in Zurich, Sheva Lo Yidiyah Rachman Etzlan Shemes Aviv Bechar B'Shvat in New York. So there's a time difference between Switzerland, I don't know, in New York, what is it, 5 hours? 5 hours. So 6:30 at night, somebody in Zurich gets a phone call that his father died. 6:39 is already, you know, Beis Shvat. But the father died in New York, it was Aleph Shvat. So when is the Yortzeit? Does the Yortzeit follow the date of where the Nifter died? Or does the Yortzeit follow the date where the son heard about the death of his parents? It was exactly the same moment. No, Tumur Chok is when you hear about it a long time from now. But here, it's exact. The minute his father died, he got a phone call. But it was just a different day. For him, it was Beis Shvat, and his father died in New York, it was Aleph Shvat. So when is the Yortzeit? Is the Yortzeit the day the father dies, or is the Yortzeit the day that the child finds out about it? So Nimsa ben Shadar v'Tzurich kvar haita otashah beiz yomi b'shvat ve'ez yomi yase yortzeit. L'chor ez taloi ma inyan hayortzeit. Imu leisa de'aviv hameis. If the yortzeit is for the parent, it's din kivrav aim. Lasas tikun l'shmaso, it's din in kapara for the nifter v'yom yortzeit. Da'az yomi d'dina delay mevuar b'svar mekadoshim. It's a kapara for the parent. As pshita de'yom yortzeit tzarek liyos be'alav shvat. The father died in New York on alav shvat. At that moment, the son was in Switzerland, and it was Beis Shvat. So if it's then the father, the yortzeit should be Aleph Shvat. The e yom yortzeit mishum leisa aben. If the yortzeit is then in the child has to do kapara, has to do tshuva on a day that his father died. The child, for the child, it was Beis Shvat, so he should do tshuva on Beis Shvat. The yortzeit should be Beis Shvat. Mishum de'oso yom shemes aviv rei amazle aben. On the same day that his father died, it was a bad luck for the child. Everybody should, you know, fast and do tshuva, etc. So here we have a question of Izorzman, time zones. Do you follow where the father was or where the child was if they're in different time zones? If it's in Kibab A, it should be Izor Aviv, the time zone of the father. Whereas if it's in the child, it should be Izor Zman Haben.
And I think in Shmur Afloka, when do you celebrate the Yurtzeit?
On the day of the death.
Okay. Yes. But shouldn't that be a raya? I mean, isn't that a raya for this question? Because
on Shmur Afloka, you're in the same time zone. You just didn't hear about it.
How many? So it still happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is this different than the Chametz, Shavada, Pesach?
This is a parallel question. If people come to Israel from America, and the Chametz is in America, and you come to Israel, they have to. Some people do a special mechira to have it, because the Chametz... How does it work? Pardon?
Well, it's supposed to go by the Gava.
You go by where you are.
So we're moshim by the Chetz of the Chumra.
Right, so there's a similar question of time zones. It's a parallel question.
What does he say
on Pardon?
What does he say
on I think he says you go based on the father. You go based on the father. Another question, what do you do on the yard? So there is a minhag.